Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. Sunday we read together a passage from Paul's letter to the Romans that told us that the work of the Holy Spirit is to bring to life within each one of us the life of God. But that we means that God lives in a certain way. He has certain values and certain things that characterize his life, certain things that are important to him. And all of that, Scripture says, God desires to be part of our life as well. We are in a sermon series that we have called The Work of the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to continue to look at how the Holy Spirit brings the life of God to life within us. I used an illustration last week in thinking about God, a way of imagining God. This is not a biblical illustration, but this is something that those who think about these things have come up with, and I really like this way of imagining God. Imagine God, if you will, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three persons of the Trinity of God, being in unity as three persons in a circle holding hands. In this image of the circle, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it reflects what Scripture says is that within the Trinity, the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Spirit, and the Spirit loves the Father. That is the primary thing that unites them, says Scripture, their love for one another, illustrated in this circle. And it is within the circle that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has a purpose. And the purpose he has for human beings, for you and me, the purpose in creating us in the first place is to include us in the circle. That's God's desire. Indeed, back in Genesis, Adam and Eve, before they sinned, were, if you will, in the circle. Right? They were in the garden, and Scripture tells us that God was with them in the garden. They walked with God, and He walked with them. They were, if you will, in the circle. But then they sinned, and in sinning, they could no longer be a part of the circle. They had to leave the circle. In Scripture, they had to leave the Garden of Eden. And ever since then, it is sin that has separated us from God, if you will, that has not allowed us to be in the circle. And indeed, sin, God being a holy God, cannot have us in the circle as long as our sin has not been dealt with. We ourselves are unable to deal with our sin. We are unable to remove sin from our lives and thereby be able to join God. We can't do that on our own. But what Scripture declares is that the Holy Spirit, His work is to bring us back into that circle as Adam and Eve were, and according to God's purpose and intent for us, why He created us, it is the work of the Spirit to bring us back into the circle. And He is able to do that, not because God stops being holy, but we stop being removed from God because of sin. And the work of the Holy Spirit is enabled because of the work of Jesus Christ, specifically the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It was on the cross that Jesus died for our sin. And as Scripture gives such clear witness to, when Jesus died for our sin, forgiveness was ours. And when we confess our sin, when we humbly repent and acknowledge our sinfulness before God and ask for God's forgiveness, we are forgiven. And if you will, the wall comes down that has separated us from God. And when that wall comes down, the work of the Holy Spirit is to take the work that Christ has already done and to complete it within us by bringing us into the circle. And in the circle, we begin to learn the life of God. We begin to experience the life of God, that love that God has within His triunity and all the other characteristics of God, like the one particular one we will look at today. We begin to learn about those, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, as He continues to work within us, because He lives within us, He is bringing those things to life, so that we live them as well. We are not to be in the circle as strangers to the love of God, or to the joy, or the peace, or the patience, or the kindness, and all the other characteristics of God. We don't live there and simply marvel and, ooh, isn't God loving, and isn't Jesus kind, and isn't the Holy Spirit powerful, isn't this amazing? No, we're to become part of that. We are to live that, and that is what the work of the Holy Spirit is all about. And that is the witness of Scripture, and that is the joy of what we are able to experience when the Holy Spirit is at work within us. Now, as I said, there are many different characteristics of God, and one of those, the one we will look at today, is the characteristic of patience. Now, if you have been following in our daily devotional Bible reading this past week, when all the passages had to do with patience, and most of them had to do with the patience of God, you learned that the patience of God biblically is primarily given to us through His patience with our sin. Whenever it speaks of the patience of God, who God is within Himself as someone who is patient in relationship to us, is that He is patient with our sin. You see, when we sin, as soon as we sin, God has every right to immediately judge that sin, that disobedience, that stepping outside of His will, to judge it and to condemn it. And to condemn sin is, using the circle illustration, to forever exclude us from the circle, to put us in a place where we never have the opportunity to be included. That's a way of thinking of being condemned. And God has every right to do that. But God, in His patience, the Bible says, is willing to wait. Even when we sin, He is willing to wait to impose judgment in order that we may confess and be forgiven. The patience of God is shown towards us in being patient with our sin. One of the ways, especially the Old Testament talks about this, is God's patience means that He is slow to anger. When it comes to sin, He's slow to get angry with our sin. Now, that may seem like a negative kind of glasses half empty way of talking about God, but it illustrates something very, very important about sin that we must never forget. Sin brings about the anger of God. Or if you have some of the older translations that haven't quite cleaned it up, the wrath of God is kindled against those who sin. We cannot lose that part of God. The holiness of God is shown in His anger towards sin. So never think that God, in being patient, means that God is ignoring sin, or God has somehow decided that sin is not that big a deal. No, sin angers God. It kindles His wrath, but His patience causes Him to be slow, to be patient with enacting the consequences of His anger with sin. Why is God angry with sin? Is it because He just got so irked that we wouldn't do what He said? Is it because He has been somehow bothered by the fact that we as human beings feel like we don't have to obey Him? No, He is angry with sin because of His love for us, says the Bible, because sin separates us from Him and it separates us from one another. What did I say earlier, that God wants more than anything else for us? To be part of the circle. What keeps us out of the circle? Sin. That's why God is so angry with sin. Have you ever been angry with someone really close to you, a relative or a really close friend, when they have done something in their relationship with you that has caused separation? You're angry with them because of what they have done, because of their disobedience maybe of a child, or because of the actions or the words of someone who is older, because it has caused a wall to come up between you and them. And you're angry because you love them and because you want to be in relationship with them and you want them to be in relationship with you. But this thing is dividing you. It also makes you sad. It makes you wish the things were different, and those are true of God as well. At other times, sin, the sorrow of God is displayed in terms of sin. But it is anger. God's anger with sin is because it causes separation with Him, and it causes separation with one another. For what did Jesus say? What's the most important commandment? Love the Lord your God, which you cannot do if you're caught up in sin, and love your neighbor, which again you cannot do if sin is what dominates your life. So God is patient. He does not immediately judge and condemn, but rather He gives us time, Scripture says, that we may come to know Jesus Christ, that we may come to a place of accepting the forgiveness that is ours and thereby to be united with Him. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to Timothy, in the letter of 1 Timothy, he talks about this patience of God, and he says, look at me, Paul. I am a prime example of God's patience. He says, I am the greatest of all sinners, and for a long period of time, I was sinning greatly against God. I was persecuting the followers of His Son, Jesus Christ. I was going after those people. There is every reason to accept the fact that God had every right to judge and condemn me on the spot for what I was doing, Paul said, to forever exclude me from life in Him. But God was patient with me, Paul said. God waited for me, and when the time was right, God came to me on the road to Damascus. And God's patience was brought to fruition in Paul's life as he confessed his sin and gave his life over to Jesus Christ. Paul says, look at me. God has been patient with me. Now, some of us became Christians. We accepted Christ at such an early age that we hardly remember what it was like before we were Christians. But others, perhaps among us, have accepted Christ at a later age. And we have years before we accepted Christ where we were rejecting Him, where we were running away from Him, where we wanted nothing to do with Him. And if during those years God had said, it's time for me to judge and condemn that person, you would not have the opportunity that God gave you to come to Him. Perhaps today you are praying for someone that is close to you who is not a Christian, someone in your family, or a close friend. Be encouraged by the patience of God. God is patient with that non-believer. And God is withholding any judgment or any condemnation of that person, giving them time to come to a place of confession. From your perspective, you may think that'll never happen. I've been praying for them for years. I have been trying to talk to them, and they want nothing to do with me when I talk about Jesus. I have done everything I know. Well, God is patient. And take courage in that. It may be hard for us to be patient in that situation. We may even have given up praying for someone or engaging with them, but God hasn't given up on them. He is still patient with them. And that, by the Holy Spirit living within us, is something that can be brought to fruition as well. Be encouraged by the patience of God, not only for you, but for those who do not yet know Him. So since patience is part of the life of God, indeed, Paul says that patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit, as he calls them. It's Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And those verses are in your bulletin if you want to look at it. They're on the page on the back. And there you have listed the nine, what Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit. These are characteristics of God. It is not an exhaustive list. It is a representative list of the character of God. God is loving. God is joyful. God is peaceful. God is patient, and so on. All nine are listed there. Today we're looking at patience, and in the subsequent weeks as we continue the series on the work of the Spirit, we will look in turn at each one of those fruit of the Spirit. But one of the fruit of the Spirit, one of the characteristics of God is His patience. We're going to look together at just a couple of verses in Ephesians that are also listed right there at that same spot in your bulletin together with the verses from Galatians. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, as we take this from the patience of God and we see how Paul says that we are to be patient with one another. In his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, Paul speaking, "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love." Paul says to be patient is to make allowance for each other's faults. And to make allowance for someone else's fault is to be willing to tolerate in them something that bothers you. To tolerate in them something that you don't like or something that is kind of getting to you. To be patient is to be willing to put up with it, not just for its own sake, but as Paul says, because of your love for that person. And indeed, ultimately, because of your love for God, who says you're to love that person. It may be someone you know very well. It may be the person who's closest to you. And I would suggest there may be one or two things in their life that you probably have to make an allowance for every now and then, right? But it can even be a total stranger. For what are we to do even with a stranger? We are to love the stranger. Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritan and what he does for a total stranger who's been beaten and left for dead. That's a wonderful parable, love the stranger. And Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, not only are to love, you know, the people who love you, not only are to love your friends and your family, not only are to love your fellow Jews or people who are like you, but you're even to love your enemy. So we need to love everybody. And chances are good that people have a way of getting to us, of doing things that we don't like. And patience means that we, like God, make allowance out of love. God, remember, does not ignore sin, and we're not asked to ignore things in other people, but the question is how we treat them and what we do. Making allowance means that we do not step in with some kind of an action or some kind of a word of immediate judgment. Immediately letting them know that we don't like what they just did or what they just said or their opinion on this issue or whatever it might be. That we are willing out of love to be tolerant. Now, tolerance is something that there's not much of, unfortunately, in the world in which we live. If we're going to live this way patiently as Christians, we're definitely going to be countercultural. Our world, certainly our Western world and our American society, is becoming more and more intolerant of everybody for all kinds of reasons. But this is what God calls us to be. But just to use kind of a facile illustration of this, where we can perhaps think about our own willingness to be patient, imagine yourself in a line of cars at a stoplight. The light is red, and you're sitting in that line, and what does it mean when the light turns green? It means to go. But what happens with the first person in the long line when the light turns green? They don't go. And what do you do? Are you willing to be patient and tolerant and just wait a few seconds? Or do you immediately go to that button on the steering wheel to let them know what you think about what they just did to kind of irk you a little bit? A silly illustration, but one that I use because I think we can all identify with it and not feel too guilty if that's probably us. God says be patient for the sake of others. Jesus Christ lived the life of God in this world. He is our human example of what it looks like when the Holy Spirit is within a person. Remember, the Holy Spirit was within Jesus Christ. Indeed, the Holy Spirit was part of His life from very inception. Jesus Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was in His life, was guiding and directing and empowering the ministry of Jesus. And the best human example we have of living the life of God is Jesus. And when we look at His interaction with His disciples, it should amaze us how patient He was with them. For think of the type of person that Jesus was. He was completely righteous, and He was incredibly wise, and He had great and deep understanding of the things of God, for He was Himself the Son of God. And yet here He hung around with these disciples who time and time again showed their lack of understanding, showed their lack of being willing to go where Jesus wanted them to go in how they acted towards each other. All the times He had to correct them, all the times that He had to try to explain things to them, not once or twice, but several times, how often He had to repeat Himself. He was incredibly patient with them because He loved them. And He tolerated within them all of these different things that I am sure did not please Him. And by His word, sometimes it's obvious that it didn't please Him. And yet He did not judge them. He did not condemn them by kicking them out. Many left, but it was of their own accord. All who chose to stay with Him, He invited to remain. But it was hard for Jesus. And He was amazingly patient with them. He knew that they needed room to grow, that understanding the things of God and living into the life of God is not an easy thing. It was not certainly immediate for the disciples. It's not like they met Jesus by the Sea of Galilee and they were changed just like that. No, they met Jesus on the Sea of Galilee and they were still as messed up as they had ever been. But Jesus gave them time. He gave them room to grow. He gave them time to understand the things of God. And Jesus, very importantly, trusted the plan of God for His disciples. Because Jesus knew that He was going to have 3 years with them, and then He'd be done. But He didn't panic. He didn't come to the final time, and it was time for Him to go. And He'd go, oh my goodness, there's still all this stuff that they don't know, and they're still really messed up, and, you know, I die and I'm raised again, but they're hiding in a locked room, and it's time for me to ascend, and they're still asking me if now is the kingdom of God. They just haven't gotten it, and I'm about to go. What am I going to do? No. Jesus knew the plan of God. And He understood that the Holy Spirit, that very Spirit that we're talking about, would be sent by God after Jesus left and would inhabit the life of the disciples. And it was the work of the Holy Spirit to continue the ministry of Jesus. So Jesus could be patient because He knew that God was being patient with these disciples and that God was bringing about first through His Son Jesus and then through His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, within the life of the disciples, the life of God was being brought about. It never happens instantly in a moment in terms of its living. It's a lifelong process for each one of us, as it was for each of those disciples who were with Jesus. But we see the results of the patience of Jesus. We see the result of the plan of God because these men and women, these followers of Jesus Christ, although slow to learn, messing up, because of the patience of the Father, the patience of the Son, and the patience of the Holy Spirit, they went out into the world and they spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And most of them died for their faith. That is how much the work of the Holy Spirit had changed them from being fearful and sinful and non-understanding or comprehending the things of God. God was at work in their life through His Son, through His Spirit, and He was patient in that work. And so Christ as an example for us, not only an encouragement that God is going to be patient with us as well as the Holy Spirit is producing ongoing action. He is producing these fruit, including the fruit of patience within us. But it is a producing with which we need to cooperate. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, again verse 1, if we're going to live a life worthy of our calling, if we're going to live a life worthy of being called the children of God, worthy of being called followers of Jesus Christ, worthy of being called Christians, then we need to include the life of patience. Then we need to be cooperating with the Holy Spirit. We need to humbly say to the Holy Spirit, I need your help. I need your guidance. I need your power, your strength. I need to be willing to submit my will to His will. And that as my finger's moving towards that button on the steering wheel, there's a little something, and it's the Holy Spirit that's just kind of causing you to hesitate. Listen to that hesitation. There's a reason for it. Not so you can be a good person and not honk your horn and bother other people and everything. No, because you are being willing to submit to the Holy Spirit. You're not doing what you really feel like doing. Because God is at work in your life. Slowly, patiently, a step at a time. If God desires patience in you and me, and if God has given us the Holy Spirit in order to produce patience, don't you think that if you and I are humbly willing to say, God, do your work, that God will do it? A Christian who is impatient is a Christian who has not allowed God through His Spirit to be at work in him. Because for no Christian who says, God, I truly want to develop the fruit of patience, no Christian is going to be left without the Spirit's work in their life. That's God's desire. That's God's promise. He is faithful to keeping His promises. Patience, part of our life in God, being produced in an ongoing way by the work of the Holy Spirit living within us. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word today. We thank You for these two brief but very powerful verses from the Apostle Paul. Paul, a man who had been called by Jesus Christ later in life, who understood in himself the patience of God. As he looked back on life, he marveled that God had not struck him dead somewhere along the way. He was heading to Damascus in order to persecute Christians. And God could have said, that's it, Paul. I am done with you. I have run out of patience with you. But instead of patience, God sends not death to Paul, but sends His Son, Jesus Christ, who speaks to Paul. And Paul turns his life over, and through the Holy Spirit, he is completely transformed. Your patience with us is amazing, Lord. May we who seek to be Your children, who seek to be like our Heavenly Father, may we also be cultivating the fruit of patience in our own life, as guided, as helped, as strengthened by the Holy Spirit who lives within us. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.